There's a lot of places in the Bible that talk about rest. And truly, all of us in our lives, it seems like the more time goes by, the more it feels like we need rest, and the more it just feels like that rest is somewhat elusive. It's difficult for us to find. It's difficult for us to accomplish that rest. How many times have you felt like you needed rest and you had a week's vacation and maybe you felt like by the end of the week you were just starting to feel that rest, and then boom, you're plopped right back into the same circumstances and the same situation? How many of you guys have gone for years and never had a vacation? How many of you have maybe had lots of vacations, but you still don't feel rested? Rest is one of those things that's very elusive in our culture, but I just think it's the way life is itself. Certainly, you know, we can look at our culture, we can say, well, there's a lot of demands, there's a lot of things that take place. It's a high-tech society where technology is always taking us to higher places. There's a lot of benefits that come from that technology, but as we go into those things, there's more demands as well. There's more demands on our time. There's more demands on our family. There's more demands on us from work. There's demands all around, and we're always searching for rest. And we can say it's just our culture, but you know, you look through the Word of God, and rest was still something that was important for those, because you see God speaking about rest. You see God speaking throughout the Word, Old Testament and New, about rest. So it's something that people have been looking for, striving for, throughout all the generations. So how do we find that rest? Well, it's a fascinating just whole chapter. If you look at, we're not going to spend time looking at the end of one chapter, but if you would read the end of Hebrews chapter 3 and into the first 10 or 15 verses of Hebrews chapter 4, you're going to find a lot of talk and conversation about rest and speaking about rest. I'm going to read some of those verses to you. I'm going to read it, first of all, from the New King James. I'm going to start in verse number 1 of chapter 4. Therefore, since a promise remains of entering his rest. Oh, doesn't that sound good? Wouldn't you like to be able to enter his rest? Oh, that'd be great. Enter into that rest that comes from the Lord. That'd be like a perfect rest, wouldn't it? Enter into his rest. His rest has to be very fulfilling. It's got to feel like you've got to be rejuvenated and refreshed afterwards. Man, we would all want that kind of rest. Therefore, since a promise remains, that's good news. There's still a remaining promise about entering into his rest. Now, if you go back in the end of chapter 3, and as you go through chapter 4, you do see that there's a lot of conversations about the rest. There's references that go back to even creation, but there's certainly talking about the rest, and the author of Hebrews is clearly talking about the rest that was as the people of God, as the Israelites, came into the promised land. It was entering that place of rest, but they never fully got that rest, and that's what's being referred to. But it also is talking to us about a whole, everything that you would associate with rest. You know, whether it's because you entered into the promised land or whether it's just because you get that fulfillment, that peace, that comfort, that strength, that revitalization that comes from rest, it all just applies to the same thing. It's all the same truths that apply to obtain that rest. Therefore, since the promise remains of entering his rest, let us fear lest any of you seem to have come short of it. For indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as to them, but the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. He's referring back to what he'd spoken about just a little bit earlier. Those who had the promise of the promised land, who were given the promise of entering into the promised land, and yet they failed to do so. They never entered into that promised land. They never entered into that promised rest. The promised land was a land that all the things that they needed were provided for them. Everything they needed. It was a land of milk and honey. All the vineyards had already been established. All the crops had already been planted. Everything was prepared. All was ready for them. The houses were there. It was all established and ready for them. It was a place of water. It was a place of produce. It was just a place of everything that they needed. It was theirs. It was promised to them as they're out in the desert, and they're promised this land. And because they didn't mix faith, they didn't believe it, they didn't receive it. So many of them died in the wilderness, never actually entering into the promise of rest, the promised land, the promised rest that was given to them. They didn't enter into it because, well, as it says right here, they heard the same promises that you and I are hearing, but they didn't mix it with faith. For we who have believed do enter that rest, as he said, so I swore my wrath, for we who believed do enter into that rest, as he said, so I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. That's basically saying, listen, God's made provision for us from the beginning of the world, from the very beginning. God's provision has already been there. The Israelites in the desert before they entered the promised land, they didn't believe the promises. Had they believed, they would have entered in and they wouldn't have taken 40 years wandering the wilderness. If you do the math, you can see that basically the time it would take for a multitude of people to go from the place, from the mountain where they had the promise, where they were told to go into the promised land, from the time of that experience to enter the promised land, it's, I forget what it is, it's like 11 days. I mean, it's just not that long of a journey. And yet for 40 years, they wandered around in the desert, never entering in. It's because they had a promise for the rest. They had a promise of the promised land. They had a promise for a land where they would have the rest that they required, that they needed. In other words, all that they had, all that they needed provided for them. They had a promise, but they didn't believe it. They didn't mix it with faith. They didn't trust and rely upon God. And as a result, they just spun their wheels for 40 years in the desert. How often in our life does it feel like we're just spinning our wheels? You can look at the years that go by, and every year you can look and you can make all kinds of New Year's resolutions and look ahead. This is the year I'm going to accomplish this. This is the year I'm going to finish that. This is the year I'm going to move into this reality. This is the year that I will finally do this. And the days, the weeks, the months go by, and all of a sudden it's the next year. And we find that we still are not at peace. We still are not enjoying the promises that God has for us. How many of you guys would raise your hands to that? I mean, that's the way so many of us live our lives. We can look at the Israelites in the desert and think, well, how foolish were they that they wandered for all of those years and never entered into the promises? How foolish. They were in that desert when just 11 days away was all the promises that God had for them. All their needs already taken care of. They never entered into it. We can look at them and say how foolish they are, and yet the reality is, how many times in my life, if I look back towards my life and all the years that I've been in ministry, you know, just years in life, how many of those years are just spinning the wheels and not getting things done, not accomplishing? It's easy to look back at the Israelites and condemn them as being foolish, but if we shine that light upon ourselves, how many of us can raise our hands and say, yeah, there's been a lot of wasted years in my life? I haven't. And how many of us would say, I still have not walked into that promised rest that God was talking about? Here's the reality. God does have a promise for us. God's saying in the same way, and this is the key point for us, in the same way that God had that promise, the promised land, the land of promise, the land of rest that he had, for the Israelites, you and I had that promise, but it's an even better promise. Because what he gave them was a promised land that just met their immediate needs. Yeah, it meant that they had food, that they could survive, that they had all those needs taken care of. But you and I, because of what Jesus did and the work that he did, we have a new covenant. We have a better covenant. We have a superior covenant. And so the promises that we have, the promises that we can enter into, the promised land that we can enter into is more than just meeting our needs like we have, which is great. Food, shelter, way of life, but it's everything. Everything that you could possibly need. All the promises that you see in the Word of God, every one of them, from the healing, for the finances, to families, your family being saved, all the promises that are there, those are promises that we can enter into. Those are promises for us. To succeed in all areas of our lives, to be a success in all areas, as a husband or wife, as a parent, as an employee, as an employer. In every area of our life, we can find success. It's what's promised to us. And it's an even better promise. But the Israelites squandered theirs because they didn't mix it with faith. You know, the author of Hebrews is telling us, letting us know that we have the same kind of promises. But don't make the same mistake that the Hebrews did, as they wound up, the Israelites, spending all those years wandering around in the desert. Let's go to verse 3 again. For we who have believed do enter that rest. we who believe do enter into that rest. He just pointed out that the Israelites, many of them never entered into the promised land. In fact, that whole generation was lost because they didn't mix faith with the promise that they had. They heard the same promises. Here's the great thing. You've got even better promises. But the author of Hebrews is saying that they had a promise from God, and they failed to mix that promise with faith. And as a result, they spun their wheels for all those years and died in the desert. They died never entering into the promised land. We have promises of God. We need to mix those promises with faith. The promises the Israelites had didn't profit them at all because they didn't mix it with faith. Here's the sad thing. For many of us in the body of Christ today, we have greater promises than those Israelites ever had. Greater promises. You've got a promise for whatever your need is today. Whatever it is you're faced with, you've got a promise in the Word of God. You've got a promise from the Creator. You've got a promise from God Himself for deliverance in whatever from whatever that need is that you have. Whatever is weighing or oppressing you, you've got deliverance and victory. It's promised to you. You've got a promise. But I can wind up, I can have that promise. But if I do the same thing the Israelites did and I don't mix that promise with faith, if I don't believe, I don't put all my trust, all my reliance upon Him, if I don't truly believe that, I'm never going to enjoy it. I will never enjoy the fruits of the promised land. A whole generation of Israelites never enjoyed the fruit of the promised land. Well, they saw the fruit because they had sent the spies in. They saw the fruit, but they never got to enjoy it because it was promised to them, but they never mixed it with faith. And because they didn't mix it with faith, the promise didn't profit them. Think about the promises that you have that you've been aware of. If you've been a believer for 20 years, you've been sitting in church, you've heard a lot of promises. How many of those promises have profited you? If you've been a believer for even a week, you've heard some promises. Have those promises profited you? They should profit. Jesus paid a high price. He became flesh and He died and rose again. He paid the ultimate price so that those promises would become reality for you. We all have promises. The question we need to ask ourselves is, are we benefiting from those promises? For indeed, the gospel was preached to us. The good news was preached to us as well as to them. They had promises as well. But the word which they heard did not profit them. The promises that they had, the word that they had didn't profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. You and I have heard a lot of good words. I think about all the words that I've heard over all the years I've been in ministry. There's been a lot of good words planted inside of my soul, in my heart. There's been a lot of good words. How many of those words have I profited from? How many of those promises have I profited from? I still can. That's the great thing about words. That's the great thing about the Word of God. The Word is seed. And if that seed has been planted in your heart, it can lie dormant for a long time. But if you'll believe today, if you'll believe that word, if you'll believe that seed, and maybe it was a seed that was planted 20 years ago, but if it's still there, you know, they have seeds that they found in the pyramids. They've been thousands and thousands of years dormant, but the life inside those seeds remains. And they could take those seeds from thousands of years ago, plant them, and they sprout life because the life is inside. It may lay dormant, but the life is there. There is countless seeds that have been planted in you and I. Countless, countless. The longer you've been a Christian, the more seed you've got inside you. And maybe you haven't seen the produce. Maybe you haven't seen the fruit of those seeds yet in your life. But if you'll water those seeds, if you'll bring them into the light of day, let them get some sunshine, let them get the light of truth of Jesus Christ. If you'll believe those words and you'll water them, by speaking words, by praying and saying, I believe those words. I believe it. Those promises, I believe them. I'm not going to squander them. You'll see those seeds planted 5, 10, 15, 20, 25 years ago, laying dormant, but you'll see them begin to sprout. Life comes. And if you believe it and you continue to nurture it, you will see the fruit come from those seeds. For indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as to them. But the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. You and I have words. Let's mix it with faith and watch those seeds produce life in our lives. You don't want to be like the Israelites, wasting year after year, never enjoying the rest, the promised land. I don't either. Let's water those seeds.